Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. It may be dreary and gloomy outside, but there are a lot of bright, sunshiny faces inside. I want to welcome you to our service of worship. If you would please register your attendance in the little pads that are at the end of each pew, pass it down, let folks see who's sitting next to them, and then pass it back and put it in the pews, in the offering plates when they go around. We really will appreciate that. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing our hymn of preparation. It's in the top of your bulletin. There are many, many announcements in the bulletin today. I want to call your attention to them and ask you to please read your bulletin carefully. Last Sunday, I mentioned that lots of folks have given up their landline phones and switched to cell phones, so the church doesn't have an updated phone information for you. We would like to encourage you to please contact the church and keep them informed of your present address and phone number so they can reach you. The one announcement I really want to call to your attention in the bulletin today is the opportunity that we will have on Wednesday for Hot Wednesday. There's been an awful lot of information in the newspapers about the earthquake in Haiti. You also are aware that Main Street has a mission group that's in Honduras right now. On Wednesday, we will have a wonderful opportunity to have an experiential service. We will participate in a prayer stations vigil that will hold up both the folks in Haiti and our folks who are in Honduras. I urge you, I participated in a worship situation like this once before with the youth. This is a marvelous experience. I cannot tell you how significant you will find it in your own prayer life. I urge you to find the time to get here for Hot Wednesday. And if you want to eat, don't forget, you've got to call the office and let them know about it. Now, I ask that we continue our worship and center our thoughts and minds as the light of Christ enters with the acolytes.
Thank you. invite everyone who is able to please stand and everyone join me in reading the call to worship that is printed in your bulletin. Let the ears of all people be attentive. The heavens are telling the glory of God. Everyone around us proclaims God's handiwork. Let us bow down and worship our Creator. Day and night, God is at work among us. We are drawn together in one body, the church. As we commune with God, we know we need each other. Let us honor the food to be found in all people. Hear once again the laws and commandments. Find them sure and right and true for all. We weep and mourn our lack of faithfulness. We seek community.
Please be seated. I invite you to join me in our invocation. On this holy day, we come together to make sense of our lives. We look to your word, O God, as a source of understanding. Revive our souls that our hearts may rejoice in your presence. Cleanse and enlighten us with your truth. Liberate us from self-imposed limitations. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, most of you will notice in your bulletins we have an insert for the baptism of Colson Edward Marino. Please ask you to turn to that now, and I ask the family to come forward, Rebecca and Don, and all those who have been invited to stand with them, to stand around us as we gather around the baptismal font. And I'm going to ask my acolyte to help me. If you'll come forward. We need some water. It'll be here when we get there. God's Spirit is already here, but we sometimes need symbols with which to recognize the presence of God's Spirit, and so we'll need some water. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I present to you this morning Colson Edward Marino for baptism. Now, Don, Rebecca, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you both, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture Colson Edward in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself and to profess his faith openly and to lead a Christian life?
We will.
And now, congregation, do you as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
Amen.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include Colson Edward and his family now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Colson Edward with a community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in his trust of God and be found faithful in his service to others. We will pray for him, that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Now let us all together join in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. To all, do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Now the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water, and he who receives it to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness, that throughout his life, dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Now, Carlson, here's the tricky part. Okay. Carlson, Edward, Marina, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother, our newest and tiniest brother in Christ. Through baptism, he is incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome him as a member of the family of Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend to your care, Colson Edward, to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. I have all this for you. Show him off.
Today's epistle reading is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 12 through 26. You can find this on page 212 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. In this passage, Paul reminds a divided congregation that the differences in the ways the Spirit's gifts operate in each person are intended to sustain the community's ability to function as one body. Listen now for God's word to us. For just as the body is one and has many members, And all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Come to our prayer time. I want to say to the 11 o'clock service, as I said to our early service this morning, about a year ago, a lot of you got into the habit of praying for rain. I'd like you to cut it out. It's kind of messing up our weekends, but I think it's okay now. On a more serious note, we rejoice that Frank Rice is home, at least temporarily, from his mission and his agricultural mission in Afghanistan. We continue to pray for Mark Calfee in Iraq. I understand today we are celebrating the second anniversary of the 40th birthday of Chuck Drake. Is that right? Okay. So we celebrate with him that. Our Honduras mission trip is there now, and we will be in prayer for them until they come back, and continue to be in prayer for our recovery effort and those grieving and those working in Haiti. Debbie Kelly's mother had some serious surgery this past week. Jay Pendergrass is in St. Francis, continuing with tests and treatments in Greenville. And I ask you to lift up during our silent prayer time your own personal prayer requests and concerns. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, on this cold and gray day, we rejoice in the warmth of your presence among us and within us by the presence of your Spirit. We know that we are not alone in our worship and our prayers and our doubts and grief and frustration and struggles. You are there. And bless us today with open hearts and minds and souls to feel your presence and to hear your still small voice, and to receive the blessings and the direction and the comfort you have for us. We lift up those who grieve in Haiti and weep beyond all consolation. We pray for the relief workers to be strong enough to bear up under the weight of the need and the chaos. We pray for generous gifts of compassion to spread your love and hope in Jesus' name. And closer to home, there are those who grieve the loss of their dreams. Careers have ended abruptly. The bills continue long past any income to pay them. Lord, we lift up those who send their resumes out with hope, who ponder new directions and pray for opportunities, and families who cannot see where help will come from. Lord, we pray that you send them help and hope, and send us out in creative ways to offer what we can in your name. We pray for the opportunity to minister all around us and give us eyes and encourage us to go and do. There are broken people, there are broken dreams and broken relationships, perhaps sitting next to us on this very day. Give us a new vision of your kingdom and our part in it, of the new hope and new possibilities. And bless this church and its children and its seniors and its families and every man and woman with us today. Help us all find our place and our ministry here to live lives of thankfulness, of grace, and of hope as we continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ. And now in our heart of hearts, we lift up our prayers, our silent prayers for ourselves, for situations we are mindful of, and for each other.
Lord, hear our prayers.
For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship, worshiping now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Let us pass the peace. I do ask you to remain standing for our gospel reading. It is from the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 14 through 21. But when you get home, if you continue, you'll notice after this Jesus' first sermon that a crowd gathered angrily and attempted to throw him over a cliff. Preachers have to be careful. Hear now God's word. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of the entire synagogue were fixed upon him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've already mentioned that we've had quite enough rain lately. I think we're more than caught up. And one of the things I enjoy doing, even on Sunday afternoons, I don't count it as work, is to go mountain biking on the long cane, I call them mountain bike trails. I think they're really horse trails, but I don't have a horse, between here and Abbeville. And I can't do it right now because the rain has made them rutty and muddy and a nasty mess. And if you ride them now, it messes up the trails, puts deep ruts in there, and then you have to go back later and fix everything. And that reminds me, that thought reminds me that once there was a sign at the very beginning of a long section of unpaved Alaskan highway, an unpaved road out in the wilderness of Alaska, and the sign read, "Choose your rut carefully, because you're going to be in it for the next 200 miles. Human beings are creatures of habit. We tend to do what we've always done, even if it doesn't work anymore. at least it's familiar, and there's sort of an inertia of the familiar. We get stuck in the rut of what we know, and as the rut digs deeper, we become more and more resistant to change. And the trouble with being creatures of habit, stuck in ruts, and resistant to change is, if you can't change, then you cannot grow. And if some things are mediocre in our lives, are unjust in our lives, are bitter, are harmful, are hurtful, are just wrong, well, then they stay that way, because that's how our rut rolls. Some clever soul said it this way: if all you ever do is all you've ever done, then all you'll ever get is all you ever got. I think it's clever. Jesus is a game changer. And you might say Jesus is the game changer. Now, in case you haven't heard this expression before, a game changer is something or someone who so radically redefines our ruts, our familiar notions, or our ideas of what is possible, that all the old rules just go out the window. It's a new game. A game changer makes the whole system brand new, unfamiliar, and the ruts go the way of every valley shall be filled, and the way of every mountain shall be leveled. We could say, if you're from the 60s, it means someone shook our Etch-a-Sketch, or someone formatted our hard drive if you're a computer guy, or someone, if you're a coach, erased all the play diagrams off the chalkboard, or if you're a lawyer, rewrote all the contracts. Change the entire game so that new things are possible. I remember a teacher, I think it was a guidance counselor back in junior high, saying this, because sort of thinking about what's going on in our culture and in the lives of many of our families. He said, the way to plan your life in America is to work hard, to get a good job with a good company, and you stay there, and you pay a lot into the retirement plan, more than that minimum, and then you start looking around early for a little mountain place or a lake place so the grandchildren can come and see you, and that's your life. The game has changed, hasn't it? The game has changed. People don't stay in the same jobs or places anymore. And companies bring in outside consultants routinely who fire folks just before they earn retirement. And loyalty in either direction is just no longer a part of that game. Long-term planning and investments is not what it used to be. I read this week that Russia is selling American dollars and buying up Canadian dollars. That's a huge game changer. In times good and bad, our currency has always been the world standard, at least for the moment. It seems like standards are up in the air. And on so many levels, we are up in the air. Who knows anymore what is good and proper and what is right? I heard last week, people of goodwill debate the propriety of luxury cruise ships docking with jet skis frolicking out in the ocean 50 miles away from the mass graves after the Haitian earthquake. For some, it is unthinkable, and for others, it's just an economic reality and devoid of emotion. We live in a day where the rules of common decency are simply no longer held in common. An example, a few years ago I was playing a game called Scruples with a youth group at a church. Some of you may have heard of the game. I don't know if it's popular anymore. But without batting an eye, these young children of the church told me that essentially the definition of right was winning what you want, and wrong was getting caught. A standard of right and wrong outside of their self and their desires was just baffling to them. They were innocent of any common standard outside themselves. Jesus was a game changer for all this. He walked right into the local synagogue and he sat down to teach after he had read the scroll from Isaiah, and it was a very short sermon. Usually when I say short sermon, I get sort of a knee-jerk amen out here. But anyway, He said, I speak with the power and the authority of God's Holy Spirit, and I tell you that I've come to preach some good news to the poor. Now that's spiritually and socially poor. To the captive. Now that is spiritually and socially captive. To the blind. Real and socially and spiritually blind. Oppressed. Spiritually and socially oppressed. He said, I come to declare the year of the Lord's favor. Now that's the year of the Jubilee, if you know your Old Testament. That's an ancient Jewish custom about every 50 years, all debts were canceled. So that no one got to hold a permanent upper hand over others. And all slaves were freed. So that no one got to own the labor and the life of another forever. And even the ground in the year of Jubilee was to be given a rest. You didn't plant it. You didn't harvest it. You let it lie fallow, unplanted for a year. And of course, they had heard these words before, just as you have heard similar nice words in church before, and you look at your watch and you say, those are nice words, preacher. Now hurry on to the benediction. But what do we see, really, mostly? Mostly we see the poor get poorer, and mostly we see the rich get richer, and when we pray, most of the time, don't we tend to thank God for what we have? And for our health, and for our wealth, and for our safety, and that we are not Haiti, and that the war is somewhere over there, and not here. Amen. The reason they got angry at Jesus was that Jesus was saying God's good news does not bless things the way they are. God does not approve of things as they are. Jesus came to change the game entirely. Release from debt, from slavery, from prison, and the released spiritually and socially shall be freed to go forward in a new way, living in God's kingdom. It is interesting and frustrating, and some of you may understand what I'm about to say, may misunderstand what I'm about to say. You can ask me about it later. But I've thought about it. It is interesting and frustrating to me that communist and atheist and socialist have stolen what ought to be the church's message. New life, a new order, a new status quo of righteousness and justice and compassion. Now they do it godlessly. They do it without any reference or foundation of God at all, much less God in flesh in Jesus Christ. Our message is one of new life and new order and a new status quo of righteousness and justice and compassion grounded in what God has done in Jesus Christ. The wrongness of our current order is wrapped up in the fact that we and our structures and our burning desire to stay in our own ruts, we, as a people, we, humanity, we saw true beauty and we saw true love and we saw truth itself. In fact, we beheld God in flesh in Jesus Christ and we nailed Him to a cross. That is how far we have fallen from the kingdom of God. That is how far we have fallen into habitual self-service, self-love. And when the crowd heard what Jesus was saying, they did what crowds always do when they hear Jesus clearly. When Jesus rolled up the scroll and said, today, here is where the game changed, and here is where He made the people mad and shook the people out of their ruts. He said, today, in your hearing, this scripture has been fulfilled. He was saying, I am the Messiah. I am the one you've been waiting on. God's year of Jubilee, God's restart comes today. And the crowd responded with fury. They looked at each other with angry exasperation and they said, who does he think he is? I make my living holding debts over others. I bought and paid for those who labor under me and I have the title to those fields. I'll plant them if I want to. And you have to oppress those people because they don't have the ability to govern themselves. We see things as they are. We're not blind. We don't need a leader, Jesus. Thank you very much. Read the rest of the chapter, just a few verses down, and you'll see that right after this hometown boy's first, very first recorded sermon, even though it was short, they drove him out of town and they tried to throw him over a cliff. And I bet most of us forgot that part of the story. Jesus is a game changer, declaring the kingdom of God not mere social change and not mere spiritual change, but both. The people running things must give it up to God. And the people who have nowhere to turn except God finally find their trust in God justified. Jesus came to turn things upside down and to restore the very vision that God had in creation. Whenever we think that we can bring in the kingdom of God by our efforts, we are hopelessly arrogant and wrong. And whenever we think that God wants us to keep things precisely as they are, we are hopelessly arrogant and wrong. All visions of how things ought to be, which do not include God as Lord of all and a mutual humility for all of us, are wrong. The standard of life and love is the life that Jesus lived before us. The standard of life together is love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And this becomes possible only because of what God did in Jesus Christ. This becomes possible only under the influence of God's Holy Spirit, after what I call the reset, the ransom, the redemption of Jesus and His cross. Whenever we go it alone in reforming our world without relying upon God's righteousness and the reality of our own sinful, selfish nature, we come out with some brand new self-serving rut where some new group of people are oppressed and some new group of people are blind and some new group of people are enslaved. For Jesus to be the game changer He declares He is in Scripture requires an understanding that God has done something in Jesus Christ that we cannot do, could not do, can never do. God has reset, has ransomed and redeemed the entire world. God in Jesus Christ has brought the possibility of new life and a glimpse into what that new life looks like. The new life God wants for us and the world, what life looks like when God's will is followed. We see that in Jesus Christ. So look to Christ for an example and look to God the Holy Spirit for the power to follow that example. So no new teaching will do, and no new political party will do, and no postmodern rule smashing will do. There's only one rule in the kingdom of God, and that is love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself, and to understand yourself and others as sinners who tend toward self-delusion, who tend toward self-service, and humbly pray to be delivered from both, and to live as new creatures unto God and not unto self. The gospel picture is unmistakably clear. Every human person comes into being as an object of God's love. No exception. Christ died not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world, says Scripture. God loves you. He loves your spouse. God loves your children, all your relatives. God loves your neighbors and your friends and your acquaintances. Every single human being who is a stranger to you, and God loves, as Christ taught us, even your enemies. Take one person out of that picture. Exclude one person from the ministry of the gospel, and you take the God who is present to you in Jesus Christ out of the picture. And we, outside of God's love, can do nothing good. Jesus said, if anyone wants to rank first, he must remain the last one of all and the servant of all. Humility. Jesus came to show us a new way. And as the Father sent the Son, Jesus, in the Gospel of John, breathed upon His disciples, breathed the Holy Spirit and sends us. As the Father sends Jesus, in the same way Jesus sends us. With the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, says Jesus, and He sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and release to the prisoners, the year of Jubilee. And so the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because we are sent by Jesus as the Father sent Him. And He has sent us to be healers, to be reconcilers, preaching and living redemption and forgiveness, eternal hope and new life. He has sent us to show the world that we are game changers for the kingdom of God. Bob Pierce, who was the founder of World Vision, you may remember that we sent a team, and my wife went on a team up the Amazon a few years ago that was partly sponsored by the Methodist Church and partly by World Vision. Well, Bob Pierce, founder of World Vision, said this. This is his motto. May my heart break with the things that break the heart of God. May I be so attuned to God that my heart breaks with the same things that break the heart of God. Live that way. Enlightened and empowered and led by God's Spirit, and your game will change. Your rut will become instead God's groove. And in God's groove, you admit your brokenness and that you're on your way to healing and wholeness. In God's groove, you put to death selfishness and you find new life through God's Spirit. In God's groove, you own the weakness. The weakness which is yours, and you nail it to the cross and find new life, seeking God's will, not your own. And so get God's groove on instead of being stuck in your own personal rut. Let Jesus change your game. Amen. Please stand. Receive this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of God's great love, the forgiveness and the grace which is yours through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and the comfort and the guidance, the power and the direction which is yours even in this moment through God the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.